नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयं उदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम सेवेंथ कैंटो चैप्टर टू टेक्स्ट 61 लास्ट श्लोक ऑफ दिस चैप्टर। श्री नारद उवाच इति दैत्यापतेर्वाक्यम् दितिराकर्ण्य शश्नुषा पुत्रशोकं शनत्यक्त्वा तत्वे चित्तम् अधारयत्। श्रीनारद उवाच इति दैत्यापतेर्वाक्यम् दितिराकर्ण्य शश्नुषा पुत्रशोकं शनात्यक्त्वा तत्वे चित्तम् अधारयत्। श्रीनारद उवाच इति दैत्यापतेर्वाक्यम् दितिराकर्ण्य शश्नुषा पुत्रशोकं शनात्यक्त्वा तत्वे चित्तम् अधारयत्। श्रीनारद उवाच इति दैत्यापतेर्वाक्यम् दितिराकर्ण्य शश्नुषा पुत्रशोकं क्षणात्यक्त्वा तत्वे चित्तम् अधारयत्। श्रीनारद उवाच तत्वे चित्ताम् अधारयत्। श्रीनारद उवाच इति दैत्यापतेर्वाक्यम् दितिराकर्ण्य शश्नुषा पुत्रशोकं क्षणात्यक्त्वा तत्वे चित्तम् अधारयत्। श्रीनारद उवाच इति दैत्यापतेर्वाक्यम् दितिराकर्ण्य शश्नुषा पुत्रशोकं क्षणात्यक्त्वा तत्वे चित्तम् अधारयत्। श्रीनारद उवाच श्रीनारद मुनि सेड इति दस दैत्यपते हे ऑफ द किंग ऑफ द डीमंस वाक्यम द स्पीच तिथि ही दिथि द मदर ऑफ हिरण्यकशिपु एंड हिरण्याक्ष आकर्ण्या hearing Shashnusha with the wife of Hiranyaksha Putra Shokam, the great bereavement for her son. Hiranyaksha, sorry, the great bereavement of her son Hiranyaksha. Kshanat, immediately. Chaktva, giving up. Tatve, in the real philosophy of life. Chittam, heart. Adharayat, engaged. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Sri Narada Muni continued, Dithi, the mother of Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha, heard the instructions of Hiranyakashipu along with her daughter-in-law, Rushabhanu, Hiranyaksha's wife. She then forgot her grief over her son's death and thus engaged her mind and attention in understanding the real philosophy of life. Purport: when a relative dies, one certainly becomes very much interested in philosophy. But when the funeral ceremony is over, one again becomes attentive to materialism. Even daityas, who are materialistic persons, sometimes think of philosophy when some relative meets death. The technical term for this attitude of the materialistic person is smashana vairagya, or detachment in a cemetery or place of cremation. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, four classes of men receive an understanding of spiritual life and God: artha, the distressed; jignyashu, the inquisitive; artharthi, one who desires material gains; and jnani, one who is searching for knowledge. Especially when one is very much distressed by material conditions, one becomes interested in God. Therefore, Kunti Devi said in her prayers to Krishna that she preferred distress to a happy mood of life. In the material world, one who is happy forgets Krishna or God. But sometimes, if one is actually pious, but in distress, he remembers Krishna. Queen Kunti Devi therefore preferred distress because it is an opportunity for remembering Krishna. When Krishna was leaving Kunti Devi for his own country, Kunti Devi regretfully said that she was better off in distress because Krishna was always present. Whereas now that the Pandavas were situated in their kingdom, Krishna was going away. For a devotee, distress is an opportunity to remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead constantly. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 7th canto, 2nd chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Hiranyakashipu, King of the Demons. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Vanchakalpatarubhyasya Kripasandubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langhayate Girim Yat Kripatamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dina Taranam. Thank you all for joining for this beautiful Srimad Bhagavatam discussion. So this is a very, very significant, very, very important verse for devotees. In this verse, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada is expressing the attitude of a devotee when he or she, you know, meets some reversals in their life. What is their attitude? So this is very important for us to understand. Because as Krishna is mentioning in the Bhagavad Gita, this material world is Dukkhalayam Ashashvatam. This place is full of suffering and misery, and it is temporary. And we as devotees, if we have an idea that having taken up devotional service, we are above, these things, then we will be in trouble. So Srila Prabhupada has explained how it is very important to have a strong, footing in Sambandha Gyan, so that we can, practice our Krishna consciousness strongly, and then we can expect, then we can expect the results of Krishna consciousness as it is mentioned in scriptures. So let's take a, one of the main points that I will emphasize. I'll come back to this, but let's just take a quick look at what's happening here. So this verse is saying, Sri Narada Muni said, so as we have heard, so Srimad Bhagavatam is a story within a story within a story within a story. So in the big picture, Sukadeva Goswami is speaking to Parikrit Maharaj. He is inquiring, I have 7 days remaining in my life. What is to be done? How should one prepare one for death? And so they ascertain, Sukadeva Goswami ascertains that the glories about Krishna is what one should fill one's consciousness with. And so this seven day long Srimad Bhagavatam, katha is happening. And in one of those exchanges, Sri Narada Muni and Yudhishthira Maharaj are having an exchange. And Sri Narada Muni is speaking to Yudhishthira. So here when it is a Sri Narada Muni Uvacha, he is speaking to Yudhishthira Maharaj. And then of course, again the chapter is Hiranyakashipu, the king of demons. So Hiranyakashipu is pacifying his mother Diti, as we see in this verse, and his sister-in-law Hiranyaksha. Because Hiranyakashipu has just lost his brother, and so he's pacifying. So that section is coming to an end here. And Sri Narada Muni is telling Yudhishthira Maharaj, telling all of us, that Hiranyakashipu, somehow or the other, he was able to pacify his relatives. He quoted Yamaraj, Hiranyakashipu. So this is the section. The section just ended. And then here, one of the first things that Srila Prabhupada also mentions is, when a relative dies, one certainly becomes very much interested in philosophy. But when the funeral ceremony is over, one again becomes attentive to materialism. So this is, and this Prabhupada calls this term Smashan Vairagya. So of course this is applicable, Prabhupada is saying, to a materialistic person, and we see this happens many, many times, where a big calamity happens and people are very open. People that are actually pious, they are open for the real answers to life. But also, as we often see, like it happened during 9/11, and then it all happens again and again, when there is a big calamity, people that are pious, they turn towards God. But then again, when that immediate distress, is mitigated, is relieved, then typically one forgets about, that extreme circumstance, and then one goes back to leading one's life as one normally does. That's what Srila Prabhupada is writing here. And he calls this Smashan Vairagya. So Vairagya means renunciation, and Smashan means, at the crematorium. So at the crematorium, everybody is very, very renounced. People seem renounced. But then, again, then one goes back. Typically one goes back to one's old ways, And again, somehow one is lured again by some of the temporary, happiness. There is a, a new birth in the family, or somebody gets married, or somebody gets a job, or what have you. And then, so that extreme circumstance is soon forgotten, and then one gets busy again. So this happens. And then for most of us, it happens sort of again and again and again and again, and one fine day perhaps, you know, we may wake up, but there's no guarantee. It's not like a conditioned soul, you know, he meets enough suffering conditions and he will become Krishna conscious. There's nothing like that. Some people think like that. So there is no guarantee like that. We can see, look at ourselves. I mean, so many lifetimes we've taken birth, you know, and then we still feel that I can find happiness in this material world. So it doesn't happen automatically. Of course, somehow or the other, in such a distressful condition, if one comes in contact with a bhakta, with a devotee, and then one gets the seed of devotional service, then the journey of Krishna consciousness, it begins. So now I'm coming to, I guess, myself and some of us. At least I can, in to my recollection, I have not faced, you know, any death in my family so far. I didn't face any extreme circumstance. And I was thinking life is, you know, fairly, you know, okay. But then there is always, you know, there is always some prompt in every living entity. There has to be more to life than, you know, just eating, sleeping, mating and defending, getting an education, getting married, having children and dying, you know, occupying some space, you know, for some time and then just becoming history. So those promptings are there in you know, for all of us, most of us, and somehow or the other, I mean, I did not know what, you know, what is the meaning of life, but somehow or the other, you know, he came in contact with devotees, and then thanks to Srila Prabhupada's books, you know, things became clear, you know, what is the goal of life, that. And so one takes up devotional service. And as Prabhupada is writing in this purport, typically there are four kinds of people that come to devotional service. The first category is arthi, one who is distressed. Somebody else, he wants some material desires to be fulfilled. Somebody else is inquisitive. Somebody else is actually searching for the absolute truth. And Krishna, he mentions in Bhagavad Gita that he considers all these four men to be udaradi, magnanimous, sukriti, udaradi. They are magnanimous. That whatever is the reason, they at least come to God. They come to Krishna. So Krishna gives them credit. And then of course he also says that amongst these four, the one who is searching for the absolute truth, he is the best. Because typically for the others, when that condition, let's say somebody is in distress and they approach God, they come to Krishna, and then by the influence of the time energy and the mercy of Krishna, somehow that extreme circumstance that one is in, it abates, you know, it passes. And so then one goes back to, you know, one's ways, forgetting Krishna, as Prabhupada writes. Typically when one is happy, one forgets Krishna, one doesn't remember God. That's normal scenario. Or there is some inquisitiveness, some curiosity. You know, you read a book, you hear a few lectures, you know, you get a sense of what this philosophy is. And so that curiosity is quenched to some extent. I mean, of course, it's a neophyte conception. As Prabhupada explains, you know, a young boy, when he masters A, B, C, D, E, F, G, he thinks he knows everything. But it's just, he doesn't even know yet, you know, how to read, how to write words and sentences. So in a way, we have to be again an illusion to feel that, you know, our, you know, curiosity is quenched. Of course, I mean, the depth of Krishna consciousness, one can, you know, one can go on forever and still not, you know, reach the pinnacle of Krishna consciousness. So anyway, so somewhere it has to become more than, you know, curiosity. One has to sort of make a switch that I want to try to apply this. Because till then it's like licking the bottle of honey from outside, but not really tasting the honey. And so then one engages in one's practices. And as Srila Rupa Goswami explains, the beautiful thing of pure devotional service is, you know, there are six characteristics of pure devotional service and Ananya Bhakti. The first two are Kleshagni and Shubhada. Kleshagni, Klesha means distressful situations, kleshas, and Agni. So they are burnt up, the kleshas are burnt up. Shubhada, it also ushers in auspiciousness into the devotee's life. So this is what happens in many devotees' lives. They've expressed, you know, how their life, I mean, we just have to look at our life before we came into Krishna consciousness. And then as we practice Krishna consciousness, for most part, you know, those distresses are sort of gone, so to speak. And so we are actually beginning to feel happy and light. But then, I was hearing last night, one has to be careful. In fact, in such, you know, happy condition, which is another, there is an anartha in the stages of bhakti called tarangarangini. You know, one then begins to enjoy, you know, the fruits that come from devotional service. And devotional service is so powerful that even a beginning devotee, he is experiencing the fruits of devotional service. Not Krishna prema, but some of these fruits of devotional service. And life, for most part, seems quite peaceful and happy. And so somehow, sometimes, again, the same allurements that we had earlier, you know, they again invite us. Just come, you know, enjoy, you know. And so, this devotee was sharing yesterday. So many devotees, they start to, you know, go out on the limb, and they say, okay, let me see how far, you know, I can go, and flirt with Maya, and till, you know, something happens. And some devotees even say, I'm going to, you know, earn a lot of money and then use it in Krishna's service or whatever it is. Because of the extreme distressful condition, you know, being mitigated, then again we are sometimes lured in, drawn in, you know, to our, you know, previous attachments. And then many people leave even Krishna consciousness. You know, I'm hearing from those that have seen devotees for 30, 40 years. So it's not just, you know, my experience. May not be my experience, but I've seen people, you know, they have seen devotees come and go. So for devotees, but here, so Queen Kunti, she's praying. She's praying for distress. And of course, we also understand from Bhagavad Gita that actually we don't really have to pray for distress. Just like happiness comes of its own accord, distress will also come of its own accord. And Queen Kunti is praying that, you know, because when distress comes, then Krishna, he is there, always with us. And then here, Krishna, the Pandavas are again, you know, installed on the throne, and Krishna is going back to Dwaraka. In this context, she's speaking, you know, these verses. So I'd like to read a few, just translation of Queen Kunti's prayers. Eighth chapter, text 23 to 26. Yeah. 23. O Rishikesha, master of the senses and lord of the lords, we have released your mother, Devaki, who was long imprisoned and distressed by the envious King Kamsa, and me and my children from a series of constant dangers. So Prabhupada in the purport, he writes that Devaki, the mother of Krishna and sister of King Kamsa, was put into prison along with her husband. Then Prabhupada writes how Devaki, she only had one extreme circumstance. And then she also had her husband with her, Vasudev. And Prabhupada explains, you know, in a very mystical way, that Krishna he did not protect Devaki's other children. And he explains that, you know, Vasudev was there with her, alongside her. But, on the other hand, Queen Kunti, she lost her husband. So Krishna, he personally took charge of protecting, you know, Queen Kunti's children. Like that, Prabhupada explains. Anyway, so he explains how Queen Kunti, you know, is even a higher devotee than Devaki, the mother of Krishna. So like that. And Prabhupada writes in the purport, sometimes he puts his pure devotees in such dangers because in that condition of helplessness, the devotee becomes more attached to the Lord. The more the attachment is there for the Lord, the more success is there for the devotee. Next text. My dear Krishna, your Lordship has protected us from a poisoned cake, from a great fire, from cannibals, from the vicious assembly, from sufferings during our exile in the forest, and from the battle where great generals fought. And now you have saved us from the weapon of Ashwatthama. So Ashwatthama, he has released the Brahmastra to destroy the last heir of the Kurus, Maharaj Parikshit. But Uttara, she prays to Lord Krishna. And Lord Krishna, again, he personally comes within the womb of Uttara and he protects Maharaj Parikshit. So she's recounting, Queen Kunti, she's recounting, as Lord Krishna is about to leave for Dwaraka, she's recounting how many ways Krishna has saved her and her family, you know. And so she's saying, and then, I wish that all these calamities would happen again and again, so that we could see you again and again. For seeing you means that we will no longer see repeated births and death. And then the last one. In a way, why it is important, why we should not shun distress. In fact, not that we need to invite it, but we can at least, we should accept it. We should learn to accept it. This is one reason, one other reason why. Queen Kunti is saying, my Lord, your Lordship can be easily approached, but only by those who are materially exhausted. Akinchana gochara. One who is on this path of material progress, trying to improve himself with respectable parentage, great opulence, high education, and bodily beauty cannot approach you with sincere feelings. This is a famous verse, Janma Aishwarya Shruta Shribhir Edamana Madhapuman. So she is saying that actually these are stumbling blocks. Janma Aishwarya Shruta Shri, these are stumbling blocks in calling out to Krishna in a feeling way. And so she's expressing why one who is materially famished, actually, he is the perfect candidate for attaining Krishna. Like the devotee, like how the people in general, they are mad after sense gratification. And so Prabhupada explains, so the devotee similarly, they should be mad for Krishna. And then Queen Kunti is saying, so one who is materially famished, or one who has no other shelters, akinchana, he can only take exclusive shelter of Krishna. Otherwise, there is always some other, you know, shelter, some other ticket, you know, that one takes and one feels, you know, sheltered. So this is the attitude of a devotee. This is another aspect of the attitude of the devotee. Another thing that Prabhupada also writes in the 10th canto, we'll come to that, it's a very beautiful verse. 10th canto, 14th chapter, text 8, very famous verse of Lord Brahma. So now I'm coming closer to the attitude of a practicing devotee. When he or she faces some distressful condition, how they should see it. Besides what we've already spoken, how they should see it. 10:14:8. Very beautiful verse.
Tathenu kampam sushamikshamano bhunjana evatmakritam vipakam ridvag vapurbhir vidadhan namaste jiveta yog mukti pade sa dayabhak.
So I'll read the entire purport just to get the full impact of it. The translation. So Lord Brahma, so just what is the context here? Lord Brahma, We know the very famous pastime, Brahma Vimohana Leela. Lord Brahma, he has stolen the cowherd boys and the calves. And then Lord Krishna, he performs this amazing pastime. And then Lord Brahma, he realizes his mistake, he realizes his offense. And then he comes and offers beautiful prayers, some of the most beautiful prayers in Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 14th chapter. I invite you to read them. So he's writing. He's saying, my dear Lord, and so he's saying, I've done a big mistake. I've done a great offense. I was trying to see what is the limit of this young cowherd boy, you know, what is the limit of his mysticism. So, and then I stole, you know, the cowherd boys and the calves. So it's a big offense. And then what is his response? So he's not saying, well, he doesn't approach Krishna that I know I'm going to get a reaction, but somehow please minimize my reaction. And he's saying, no, whatever I'm supposed to get, let it come. But while it is coming, please, he's asking for a consciousness. He's asking for the right consciousness in which he can face what will come. And then if he faces that in that consciousness, what will be the result of it? My dear Lord, one who earnestly waits for you to bestow your causeless mercy upon him, all the while patiently suffering the reactions of his past misdeeds and offering you respectful obeisances with his heart, words and body, is surely eligible for liberation, for it has become his rightful claim. So Prabhupada purport, three paragraphs. So Srila Sridhara Swami explains in his commentary that just as a legitimate son has to simply remain alive to gain an inheritance from his father, one who simply remains alive in Krishna consciousness, following the regulative principles of Bhakti Yoga, automatically becomes eligible to receive the mercy of the personality of Godhead. So again, this automatically, you know, is a loaded word. So automatically doesn't mean just mechanically something is going to happen. So it is further explained, by following the regulative principles of Bhakti Yoga, automatically becomes eligible. What is the consciousness of the person while he's automatically, you know, following the principles of devotional service? In other words, he will be promoted to the kingdom of God. The word susamikshamana indicates that a devotee earnestly awaits the mercy of the Supreme Lord even while suffering the painful effects of previous sinful activities. So many people ask, many devotees ask, well, I'm giving my life to Krishna. You know, show me some mercy. You know, why? You know, why is this happening to me? So Prabhupada shed some light on this. Is it karma? What is this? Lord Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita that a devotee who fully surrenders unto him, sarvadharman parityaja, who fully surrenders unto him, is no longer liable to suffer the reactions of his previous karma. Okay. However, because in his mind a devotee may still maintain the remnants of his previous sinful mentality, the Lord removes the last vestiges of the enjoying spirit by giving his devotee punishments that may sometimes resemble sinful reactions. Anyway, so give ourselves some credit that we are fully surrendered to the Lord. And that may be in question. But even let's say we are, you know, fully surrendered to the Lord, as Prabhupada is like explaining here. Who fully surrenders unto him. It is not that his karma is acting in his life. But Prabhupada is writing, but Krishna, he uses that to purify the devotee. He says, because in his mind a devotee may still maintain the remnants of his previous sinful mentality, the Lord removes the last vestiges of the enjoying spirit. So what is sinful mentality? It seemed like sinful mentality. Seemed like a hard pill to swallow. But just the simple thing, the tendency to enjoy independently of Krishna. That, I mean, who can deny that, you know, we don't have that. There is at least some there. So here he's saying that he wants to remove that mentality, the remnants of that previous sinful mentality. The Lord removes the last vestiges of the enjoying spirit by giving his devotee punishments that may sometimes resemble sinful reactions. Then Prabhupada writes, next goes on, the purpose of the entire creation of God is to rectify the living entity's tendency to enjoy without the Lord. And therefore, the particular punishment given for a sinful activity is specifically designed to curtail the mentality that produced the activity. Although a devotee has surrendered to the Lord's devotional service, until he is completely perfect in Krishna consciousness, he may maintain a slight inclination to enjoy the false happiness of this world. So the point is, at least, Krishna is very, very merciful. He is very, very compassionate. So he knows that the conditioned living entity, he has a tendency to enjoy independently of him, to look for happiness. So it's almost like Krishna, he defeats every attempt of the devotee. He says, let me try to enjoy in this way. Door is closed, door is closed. So it seems like every door we knock, you know, it's getting shut. And for the conditioned soul, you know, who understand that that is his source of happiness, is distressful. But here, this Prabhupada explains, this is a special mercy. The Lord therefore creates a particular situation to eradicate this remaining enjoying spirit. This unhappiness suffered by a sincere devotee is not technically a karmic reaction. It is rather the Lord's special mercy for inducing his devotee to completely let go of the material world and return home back to Godhead. Last paragraph. A sincere devotee earnestly desires to go back to the Lord's abode. Therefore, he willingly accepts the Lord's merciful punishment. So instead of, you know, resisting it and asking why, our question should be like, Krishna, okay, this is the situation, I'm not going to fight it. How do you want me to serve you? Because that opportunity to serve is there in every circumstance. Ahaituki apratihata. The pure devotional service cannot be checked externally by any external circumstance, cannot be checked. So that opportunity to serve is there. So instead of asking, you know, why, like how? For example, you know, let's say a devotee, they are used to serving in a particular way. And somehow or the other, something happens. Their body is completely short. Like you know, a beautiful example is His Holiness Jayapadak Swami. Amazing. So he was used to traveling, you know, all over the world, and it is mentioned that sometimes he would have breakfast in one continent, lunch in another, and dinner in another. So that's how much he traveled in the service of Krishna. And here he is completely, you know, unable to even walk by himself. But did it stop him from serving Krishna? No. So he found ways. So initially, so till now, I mean, even now his, you know, health is not fully, you know, recovered as it was earlier. But you can see that the vigor, the intensity that he had for preaching the message of Lord Chaitanya, it's as strong as it was before. You know, so pure devotional service cannot be checked by any circumstance. Yeah, the form, the details of it may vary, but the opportunity to serve is always there. So instead of asking, like, why, you know, is this happening to me, and, you know, why, you know, I'm trying to be a devotee, you know. So, like, how can I serve Krishna? How do you want me to serve you in this circumstance? That's another aspect of the attitude. Therefore, the devotee accepts the Lord's merciful punishment and continues offering respects and obeisances to the Lord with his heart, words and body. So this is more than tolerance. Tolerance is the first instruction of Bhagavad Gita. Yeah. But here, so it's not just gritting the teeth, but ritvag vapurbhir vidadhan namaste. So while facing that extreme distressful circumstance, his heart is fixed on the Supreme Lord. His words are fixed on glorifying the Supreme Lord with his body as much as, you know, it will allow, depending on what is the circumstance, he serves Krishna. He is offering obeisances. So it's not just tolerating, gritting the teeth. It's like, in a way, accepting. And not only accepting, you know, welcoming, like Lord Kunti Devi, she is welcoming. So there are different levels. So we have to know what your capacity is. So initially we just have to learn to tolerate. And then maybe a time will come where we are ready to stop fighting the situation and willing to accept it. And then welcome it. Welcome, you know, these things. And most of the devotees share that actually when they look back, it's actually those tough circumstances, those distressful circumstances, you know, they remember the most. They remember them the most. And especially when we have devotees that, you know, we can hold hands with and we can face that, you know, difficult circumstance, it becomes a blissful experience. Yeah, if you're isolated, if you're alone, it's trouble. Will be dead. But here, Queen Kunti is saying, yes, there were a lot of distresses, but then Krishna was always there. So it was beautiful. So similarly, many devotees express that I would not want it any other way. In that circumstance, when we are going through it, we feel, I mean, please, Krishna, I need a break. Give me a break. You know? But then, devotees, when they look back, because hindsight is 20/20, they said, I was perfect. That's exactly what I needed, and I'm glad. I would not want it any other way. So the devotee comes to the platform. So then Prabhupada is writing, such a bona fide servant of the Lord, considering all hardships a small price to pay for gaining the personal association of the Lord, certainly becomes a legitimate son of God. So this is a small price to pay. So tell a small, you know, story which I heard His Holiness Indradumna Maharaj was sharing. Way back, Srila Prabhupada had come to, I think, London, and His Holiness Indradumna Swami was there. And then many things happened. He also went to the airport with all the devotees to receive Prabhupada, and then come back to the temple and be part of the, you know, the big, you know, welcoming and, you know, the festival. But somehow or the other, when he went, somehow it happened that Srila Prabhupada's bags, somehow they were lost in transit. They didn't come. Or they, you know, so somehow something happened. And Indradanda Das, a young devotee, so some of the senior devotees, they asked him, can you stay back? Stay back in the airport. And then, you know, till the bags come, and then he come. So one can imagine, you know, his anticipation, his enthusiasm to be with Prabhupada in that association, he was not able to be there. So he was asked to do that service, so he did that service. And then eventually, you know, those bags came. And then he shared that he came to the temple, you know, many, many hours later, and the whole festivities were over. There was not even, you know, a grain of prasadam. And then he came, and there were all these heavy bags. And then Prabhupada, you know, was, I guess, residing in, you know, two, three floors. So His Holiness Indradana Maharaj, he was bringing like each one of those bags, you know, it was heavy bags. He brought each one of them up. And then, you know, after he brought the third bag, he went inside and then he offered obeisance to Srila Prabhupada. And then Srila Prabhupada, you know, he just sort of, you know, rubbed his head. And then he said, you know, this is something to the effect, this is sort of the important piece, but he said, you don't have to face, you know, these kind of challenges when you go back home, back to Godhead. So he was expressing, I mean, it's a small price to pay. This is a very small price to pay. And many devotees have expressed that they have gone through some extreme circumstance. They've said, well, if this is the price that was required of me to pay, that I get connected to a Vaishnava, nothing, this is nothing like that. So here Prabhupada is writing, Such a bona fide servant of the Lord, considering all hardship a small price to pay for gaining the personal association of the Lord, certainly becomes a legitimate son of God, as indicated here by the words Daya Bhak. Just as one cannot approach the sun without becoming fire, one cannot approach the Supreme Pure, Lord Krishna, without undergoing a rigid purificatory process, which may appear like suffering, but which is in fact a curative treatment administered by the personal hand of the Lord. So this is the attitude, 10, 14, 8. So Prabhupada is explaining very clearly that this is compassion, this is the special mercy of the Lord upon the devotee, where he removes the last vestiges of the tendency to enjoy materially, he removes it. So this is not karma, but Krishna is personally acting in the hands of a devotee, in the life of a devotee. And for rigid purificatory process, if one wants to enter into the fire, sun, one cannot enter until one becomes like fire. So if one wants to go back to Krishna, we cannot go back in this, you know, unclean condition. And so Krishna, he uses, you know, our karma, one can say, to purify us. But it's a personally he's administering that as a curative treatment. There is another beautiful image in Srimad Bhagavatam also, where, you know, the mountains are glorified. The mountains that are standing there, the mountains are colossal, they're huge. But then, those mountains, when they are, you know, splattered with, you know, thunderstorms and rain, all the dust and all the accumulated, you know, dust and unwanted things, they are removed. And then the mountain, it shines, it glistens. You know, when the sun appears, sun rays appear on the mountain, it glistens. So without, you know, the thunderstorm and the intense rain, the mountain isn't purified. So similarly, the Bhagavatam explains that for the devotee, you know, such circumstances are going to come. We cannot fight them. So we should be ready. So if our idea is that if I accept devotional service, and then if it's, life is going to be a walk in the park, you know, we will be in, I guess we'll have a harder time. So know that Krishna he will protect our devotional service. He doesn't guarantee that he'll protect, you know, your wife from dying or your children from dying. He doesn't give that kind of assurity, guarantee. He says, I'll protect your devotional service. That he guarantees to protect. And so we have to be able to see, you know, all these things properly. So we have the right attitude when we face reversals. So our attention then goes to service instead of fighting that, you know, adverse circumstance. So this is for a devotee. And then to come back where the purport began, you know, Smashan Vairagya. So we just have to, as devotees, we have to be there in a way. You know, the famous story of which Nityananda Pran again and again tells about, was it Narada Muni and what is the name of the gentleman? He comes again and again, you know, are you ready for Krishna consciousness? He said, nah, not yet, you know. What is it? Kailash. So we have to be patient, we have to be ready to meet the person wherever they are. Even if it is Smashan Vairagya, let's say they're open, you know, so maybe one drop of, you know, bhakti goes in to their heart. And then, you know, they forget, or we forget. And again something happens. So if we are sensitive, coming back to this whole point, you know, when there is some calamity, it is important for us to actually not try to hit a home run, but just make sure that at the end of that exchange, these people, they go back with an attitude saying, these devotees of Krishna, they are nice, they are sensitive. You know, because if we leave them with that impression, they'll come back. when because if this is what is going to happen, sooner or later another wave will come crashing, and then you know they'll come. So we just have to be patient. So whenever whoever is ready, you know, for receiving the medicine, we administer the medicine to them. We have the medicine. We have to administer it in a compassionate, you know, way according to time, place, and circumstance. See who is ready for what, not judge them, and then administer the medicine. Okay, so I thought we'll pause here. It's a beautiful verse. I'm very glad that it was not my turn to speak today. Somebody else's turn, but I was asked to speak. I'm glad, to speak on this verse. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any comments or thoughts or questions? Anything you would like to add from your own experience? Yeah, I could even make it interactive by asking you if you would like to share one instance from your life where in that moment it seemed like it was very, you know, distressful, very... But then, now, having gone past that, you know, how do you see that circumstance? So some personal sharing, if you would like. You can do that also. Yes, Leela Manjari Mataji, is there a microphone? Thank you.
Thank you very much for the beautiful class.
Hare Krishna.
I think this is a message that we need to hear again and again. This is a message that we need to hear again and again, because it's very practical in our life. My personal experience when I went through distress was after overcoming the distress was, if I had not gone through that distress, I would have not become compassionate towards those who go through distress. So I think compassion becomes natural when we go through the distress, when we see others facing the distress, and we don't become less tolerant towards them. We have... Krishna gives us more maturity and tolerance when devotees go through the same thing and we can relate to them. So that's how I felt. And also, Lakshmi Muni Mataji expressed something very nice about these kind of circumstances. She said, either we get a realization or we make a mistake.
Or?
We make a mistake. So it depends on us and the association that we have around that time. If we can take better shelter of Krishna and the process of devotional service through the association of devotees, then actually we grow. Otherwise we move away slightly because our faith decreases during such testing circumstances.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, sometimes devotees ask, is this the best situation for me? Well, we have to see that every situation, circumstance that we are in now is perfect for my growth. We're not saying it's perfect, you know. If something really drastic has happened, you know, how can we say it is perfect? It is incomplete. It is perfect for my growth of my relationship with devotees, with Krishna, my Krishna consciousness. Then we don't have trouble. Thank you. One other, just last, beautiful pastime that comes to mind about Haridas Thakur. So as we know, Haridas Thakur, Srila Haridas Thakur, he was chanting the holy names of the Lord even before Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he appeared. And he was born in a Muslim family, he's Lord Brahma himself. And he asked for a benediction, that in my next life, Lord Brahma, in my future life, let me be born in such a circumstance that I will not be proud of my, high birth and so on and so forth. So Lord Brahma, he comes to assist Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur in his pastimes. So Srila Haridas Thakur, he was chanting the holy names. He was born in a Muslim family, and the Nawab and everybody else, they were trying to dissuade him from chanting the holy names. And they threatened him. They even publicly, you know, flogged him in 22 marketplaces, but you know, nothing happened to him. Krishna was protecting him. And in one such time, Srila Haridas Thakur was even imprisoned, and there were many others who were also imprisoned along with him, who were like in a similar situation. They were chanting the holy names of the Lord, and then the Nawab. So religious persecution. So they were all persecuted. They were all in this prison house, and they were all there with Haridas Thakur. And so Haridas Thakur came, these prisoners, they were like jubilant. Haribol, it's fantastic. And then, so that circumstance, so they were all chanting the holy names along with Haridas Thakur for many days. And then at a certain time, Srila Haridas Thakur, he was released. And so Srila Haridas Thakur, in his parting words, his blessings were, he was told all these prisoners who were still in prison, that may you always remain in this condition. So they were like shocked, like, what do you mean? May we always remain in this condition? Here you are leaving the prison house, you know, and here we are, you know, still incarcerated. And then Haridas Thakur, he understood that, you know, they misunderstood him. He said, no, I didn't mean, you know, the external circumstance, but the internal circumstance. Here in the prison, you're really feeling, you know, the pangs of material existence, and you're able to take shelter of Krishna. You have no other shelter. You're taking shelter of Krishna. So that's what I mean, that we always remain in this condition. So he blessed them like that. So same mood as Queen Kunti Maharani's prayers. You know, that may calamities come, because they are an opportunity to take shelter of Krishna. Okay, so we will end here. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. So we will begin with the third chapter tomorrow, 7th canto. Okay, Hare Krishna.